I see your identification badge, please? Thank you. Have a nice day.
There, you see? The system is absolutely foolproof.
My name is Jamie Roberts.
I'm Robert Lendrum.
And this is the Running Scared Podcast,
where we review the films that had you running away, but coming back for more.
And we are back for more again tonight. Rob, this is a special episode.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like we say that every time we get on the mic. we have an episode, but actually, we have a very special episode. We have friend of the pod, the beneficiary of Johnny Gaudreau's decision to go down to the Columbus Blue Jackets, hockey fan number one, the man from Ohio himself, 6 a.m. run's own, Ari Fleeman. Ari Fleeman, how you doing, man?
After that intro, I'm fantastic. I forgot you were going to bring up Johnny Gaudreau, Johnny Hockey. I'm very excited for that. You know, hopefully we can steal a little bit of that hockey magic and, you know, he'll do something for us.
Oh my God, people up here are upset. Like you know what I mean? People out in Calgary are like, Rob, this is your thing right here. Like, people are upset. Because Matthew Tkachuk is leaving too.
They were upset that, well, here's the thing. They lost Gaudreau straight up. They were pretty upset then that Tkachuk was like, yeah, and I want to go too. They got a good return on that Tkachuk deal though, by the way.
I love it. It's so funny too. I've been well, me and my friends have been just laughing at the shitstorm that has come to Columbus and all of the hate. And I apologize, Calgary fans. I know, like, I would be the same way if it was our guy leaving. But man, you guys just—you've never heard of us, but you hate us, and I love it.
I like it. It's like there's some brewing down there, man. It's like when I turn the hockey game on like a Saturday or at night, like, you know, the Columbus fans are into it. Generally, the seats are pretty filled.
The cannon.
And
the cannon. I love it.
And the team's only going to get better with Gaudreau. That guy's a player.
But speaking of trips to Ohio, Jamie just got back from a trip to Pittsburgh.
I was close. I know. You know what? I know you hate the Pens, right? But like, I think it's the third or fourth time I've been down to Pittsburgh. And, you know, you say like Columbus, like a little podunk town in America. I know Pittsburgh, I think it's a little bit bigger. Maybe.
Yeah.
I'm not sure. I think it's probably a little bit bigger. But I love going down there. Like, we hit the Mattress Factory, the Cathedral of Knowledge, Pirates game. PNC Park is one of the best. I'm a huge baseball fan. The guy I went with, another friend of ours from grade school, Mike Yokota. Shout out to Mike Yokota, our only Patreon subscriber. We went with him and
didn't his credit card bounce?
Sir, your card is declined.
I think his card bounced.
No, he's got the AMX Gold.
Did you get a sandwich from Permane Brothers? Pramani, I don't know if I said that right.
Joe Pramonti, hells yeah.
Okay.
The cab driver, the first guy, because last time I was here with my wife and my 3-year-old son, we didn't get a chance to go. So I was here with Mike there. We're in our cab, and Yet goes, what's the go-to sandwich at Pramani's? And the guy goes, I like the capicola and cheese, right? So we get in there. That's what Yet gets. And I'm not a big spicy meat guy,
right.
But I got the pastrami. It was amazing. It was absolutely packed. And dude, there are no pleasantries in there. Like, the guy barely acknowledged me at the counter. He just like, I just kind of like pointed to the sandwich that I wanted. And for those that like don't know what these sandwiches are, they make your sandwich, but they take a handful of fries and then a handful of coleslaw and they slap it on. It's like a big piece of white bread and you go eat it. It was delicious. And the sandwich was $8. Shout out to that restaurant. It was fantastic.
Sure. There's your first sponsor right there.
Exactly, man. Actually, you know what? Speaking, not a sponsor, but you know, definitely. You know, you work for 6 a.m. Run. Can you give us like a 2-minute kind of shout out? What's going on with the running company? I know we had the interview with the Jogcast a little while back, but what's going on with the business?
Yeah, so business is booming. We actually just released, and I forgot when we actually did the podcast. So I don't know if we released it then, but we've released two new products. Actually, I apologize. Three new products. We just released one last week. So we've got a high intensity formula. So more for like high intensity workouts or CrossFit or anything like that, which one of the flavors tastes like Smarties. Like for me, which is huge. I'm a huge, huge, huge Smarties fan. So I'm absolutely in love with that. We got a intro workout, so kind of think like a souped up Gatorade, better than Gatorade kind of thing, for those real long runs where you need something in the middle. And then we actually just released a vegan protein. So a lot of new things coming out. We've got some good partnerships as well that we've worked on. So some new gear and bottles and things like that from some other similar companies. So all good things. Definitely, you know, have to let me know, you know, if you guys are interested, send you some more stuff. I know we sent you some samples last time. You know, maybe we'll get you some new stuff as well.
Well, Jamie would be all over that. And then to add to the whole running convo, Jamie, we've got some big news as well.
We're just
about to release Jogcast number 3 in its whole. It's a 40-minute Jogcast. It's called Insulum Creatur. So we are finally finished this thing. This is basically my fault for delaying this forever. But that has a lot to do with me just moving to a whole new province again this weekend. So that was fun. So this new Jogcast stars our two new characters we got. Ken Capstone, Colonel Ken Capstone, and Dr. Malcolm Burr. And it's great because we really tried to put something together that was different. Instead of me and Jamie telling a story about us kind of running through the streets of Hell and Hamilton or something like that, we instead created, you know, we forefront you, the runner, as the main character. And we as characters are speaking to you in your headpiece. So it's much more kind of like a video game, the way it works, where like you're getting motivated by the things we're saying and the narrative that's developing in front of you. But it's really about, it's like it really centers the runner as the main character I was about to say the film. It feels like a film.
Yeah, it definitely does.
Yeah. It's like a Michael Bay on steroids with some horror thrown in there.
I'm happy that you've got new products coming out for 6 a.m. Run. And then we've got new things at Running Scared Podcast, the Running Scared Network. Right? We're excited. So it sounds like there's really good things happening. There's also one really good thing happening. And that is the reason that's brought us here tonight. And that is to review the 1986 classic 80s horror film, Chopping Mall.
And we should say this was Ari's reco. We were like, we wanted Ari to pitch us one, and this is what he gave us. And this is, holy shit,
second,
Ari.
This second is second recommendation.
Was it? What was the first one?
The first one was Sleepaway Camp. Right. That we're like, I don't know if we can do that one.
Sleepaway Camp just got so much. Oh boy.
Well, so, you know, listen. I wouldn't like. I'm not going to shy away from a trans conversation. It's. I think this might be.
I just want to handle it well. Like I just want to.
Exactly. But I listen. Sleepaway Camp. I remember watching it. Like there's some amazing kills in that film. There's some absolute like. Points in that film you just have to kind of turn away. It's like, what are you watching? But I think we landed on something that we can all kind of sink our teeth into. And how we do this is, and I think would make sense, because we got three competitors in the challenge tonight.
Oh yeah,
Rob, we're doing the one line challenge, not just with Jamie Roberts and Rob Lendrum, but with Ari Fleeman. Rob, what do you think about having the new guy go first?
Put him right on the spot, eh? Okay, I'll volunteer. I'll go first.
Okay. You go. How about this? You go first. I'll go second. Ari can run the anchor, okay?
Yeah, let's go.
All right, here we go. All right. Count me in. 3, 2, 1.
A 20-something orgy party is interrupted when robots from a security mall start treating everyone they see as a potential enemy. Chopping Mall.
I like that. You missed Chopping Mall at the beginning.
I did, and I also didn't really explain like what the story was. But anyway, you go for it. Who's next?
Okay, here we go. I'll go.
3, 2, 1.
Chopping Mall. Rogue robots commandeer a mall with seemingly unsuspecting workers congregating in a sexual party, only to find out that the stalking commences and it's a fight for survival to the very end. Chopping Mall.
That wasn't bad. You keep reaching for those $5 words, though. You gotta pull it back.
I know exactly. I gotta just talk to the layman. I'm just always bringing these.
Know your audience, man.
Well, yeah, you know that's a really good point. Okay, Ari, this is go time, baby.
All right,
count them in, Jamie. Count them in.
Okay, here we go. 3, 2, 1.
Chopping Mall. What if Johnny Five from Short Circuit and the robot from RoboCop had a love child, and that love child loved boobs and killing unsuspecting teenagers. Chopping off.
Ooh, that was great.
Yeah, that was really good. You could script out the one-line challenge for us. I like that. Because that you know excellent. What? I always thought we never
compared other movies like that. That's smart. That's a good way to like. That's how an elevator pitch usually does work. You kind of say it's the Smurfs meets RoboCop, and then you know that's supposed to.
I would watch that.
Yeah.
Just to kind of get us started. Yeah, is this like a quintessential kind of 80s horror film?
Yeah, I was going to say, I don't really think it is. Like, I mean, I think it's one of those ones that I think you know kind of obscurely, you know, like almost the same as Sleepaway Camp. Like, you've got to be a real big horror, 80s horror junkie to really, like, get in there. It's that second or even, like, third level of, okay, I've seen all the 80s, you know, I saw Child's Play, I saw Friday the 13th, I saw Halloween, I saw A Nightmare on Elm Street, like, you know, I saw Fright Night. Like, all of those are, like, I would call quintessential. This is that kind of, okay, I'm at Blockbuster. There's no other video cases left.
I was just about to say, this feels like you're digging through the wall a little bit. Seen that one, seen it. What's this?
What does this movie do well?
You want the 80s formula here?
Yeah, let's get the 80s formula, the tropes. Like, what are they doing here?
Yeah, young people who are not like supervised, who are like old enough to drive and drink now, right? You know what I mean? Like, they're not teens anymore, but they're like just past. There's a ton of like sex where it's like, it's just like party time sex, like 80s Saturday night, like let's get drunk and screw our girlfriends. It's so weird because
girls
it's like,
in bikinis, just
it's like a communal
going up,
thing.
Yeah, like going up, riding up the escalator, like the Miss America pageant.
Well, the mall itself is kind of a great setting.
I love the smell of commerce,
right?
In the
like for an 80s film, because it's like it's such a particular time and space and culture. Like, I guess malls still operate like this in a lot of ways, but they definitely had like a scene to them that used to like all of us knew when we grew up. Like, there was an age where people just hung out in malls. Like, you'd go there for the day. You'd spend like a whole like hours there, not even really shopping.
Oh, I was gonna say I was agreeing with you, but like I think too, like a lot of the horror movies in the '80s did the like the nerd is the hero, or like the
yes,
for some reason the outcast kid was hanging out with all the jocks, and they, you know, which didn't happen I think in any of the other later movies, but you know, you had the one kind of weirdo kid that they were either trying to hook up with somebody or they were bringing him along, and then, you know, he winds up being this like superhero towards the end of the movie kind of thing.
It's always like exactly, so it's kind of the smart guy who doesn't indulge. Like, usually that's the other thing in all these 80s, we've talked about this in other films, James, but like, if you don't smoke, you don't drink, you're safer, right? And this guy usually doesn't do that. Yeah, the rules.
I'm literally looking at I got the movie going right now, and I'm literally looking at like the three main dudes that are in this film. It, like the one jock dude gets killed like right away. He's the one that's got the really hot chick. That we get the, you know, she shows her breasts as he's going, I think he's going to get cigarettes or something. But
in the jawline on that guy, look, that guy's jawline is like, what? He looks just like a football player, doesn't he?
Like a football player, yeah. He's got a square head. But one, okay, so going
from my career, like he did a ton of movies after this, by the way.
That guy?
Yeah. Look him up. Which, is he John Turleski?
He ain't gonna know diddly unless you tell him. And you ain't gonna tell him, are ya?
Hey, look, don't force me to pull rank.
Yeah, he's John Turleski.
Yeah, so I think he did, like, a ton of stuff.
But just to bring it back to Ari's point here, I think you have Tony O'Dell, who's the one guy that makes it to the end. You got, like, not to spoil the film here, but he makes it to the end. And then you got the other two guys that have, like, shotguns and are very macho in nature, and just like the juxtaposition of them on screen is definitely what you said, just that kind of that nerd kind of hanging out with the other people, but having like having them sort of win out in the end. I think like Stranger Things really kind of capture that 80s kind of vibe in recent. I know like with the kids in my class, they don't know anything about 80s, but they use that as like a sort of like a barometer to kind of figure out what the 80s were. And then they've done like some further exploration with that. So definitely it's got that.
Rick was okay. I didn't think he was such a bad guy. Rick was like pretty chill.
Was Rick the guy with the car guy?
You know, he's the guy with the brown hair with the shotgun who tries to use the forklift.
Oh yeah, the guy that runs up the escalator and just gets his head blown up.
That's the macho guy you're talking about, who's like really he's enraged about his girlfriend.
His girlfriend getting killed.
Rick is like the like brown haired nice guy who's still like could also play football.
Lady, you got a license for that outfit?
Why, no.
He's not nearly as like pushy as the other dudes are, and he's like he tries to save his friends. He's like not as egotistical as the other dude.
Let's take a look at these actual robots. This film is called Chopping Mall, and essentially you've got a robot security system that's been installed in a mall to protect the patrons when they shop, and then everything just kind of goes to shit and these things start turning against the people that they're supposed to be protecting.
Protector 1, going online, level 1.
Is this kind of security, if we actually sort of bring it into a context of like, could this actually make sense? Or is there any realism to this robots at all?
I gotta know, what's the bill on having a set of security robots? Like, this has gotta be the most expensive security system on Earth.
Yeah, I love right at the beginning, they're like having the, they're having the presentation, and one guy goes, how can they know who to protect? And the guy's like, look, I've got the badge around my neck. And he brings the badge like right up against the robot's eyes. Like it's literally 5 inches away, right? It's like, it's ridiculous. Could this happen in real life? Is this a good thing? Or is this completely ridiculous?
In the 80s or now? Because now, yes. Then, no. 100% they already have this now.
What, but, robots rolling around?
No, but they have facial recognition software. They can track people that with suspicious behavior. They have robots that can like walk and basically like animals now. Like they have, like we're pretty close to what this is now in real life. But in this thing, the other thing about these robots, and Ari, this is one of the reasons I'm sure you love this movie too, is just like because the robots are so... To me, it's so dumb that these things can chase them so effectively. Yeah. They're like rolling around on like vacuum wheels, and like they're supposed to be able to keep up with like a human running at full sprint who can like dodge
couldn't you
and duck
just
and move.
Put like a carpet in front of them, or like, you know, kick them over. Or something.
I kept thinking, get them on the elevator and then lock it so that he can't get out.
Yeah.
Or get him on the escalator. Like, I don't know. He can't.
Don't they try to do that? Don't they try to? They bring him into the escalator and blow it up, right?
I think so. Yeah. With the
they do that. Yeah, exactly with the gas can. But these things are fireproof, so they're like not able to. These things don't die. But yeah, they're pretty. They don't seem very agile. Although there are times, like, you know what I mean, they don't seem to, and I'm not sure that it was smart to install a fucking laser cannon on these things.
That's where I was going next.
Like really, like I get like he's got like the little like, I don't know, like praying mantis hands that like that shoot out. It's like a, I don't know what that is. Yeah, it's like a grapple hook.
All right, you got to give us the American perspective on this. Are security guards now allowed to use laser guns in the States?
Probably. I can't tell you the last time I've been to a mall, but if I went there, I would not be surprised if I saw some mall security cop, not a real cop, but like a mall security cop with a total laser around his neck or whatever.
Like it's absolutely nuts. Like just the idea that like people were okay with it, man. Everybody's like
just to save some merchandise. Like from the, like how much theft is happening at this place? So the first death we get, I believe it's the first death, is a nice cameo from our friend from Gremlins.
Yes.
What's the actor's name? I always forget.
Dick Miller,
who is in Gremlins. He's been in tons of other things too, but that's where I love him from.
Goddamn fine TV.
And he's kind of playing the same cantankerous guy who's mopping the floor, and he gets electrocuted when the robot shoots like tasers at him, and he's got a foot in the puddle.
There's a couple, he's a couple of things about that scene that just first off, he's working a night shift, and the two guys roll past him. like the other two janitors. I guess they're going home. They got a Miller Lite in each hand. And they're like just laughing their asses off. Second thing is this had an $800,000 budget. And I'm going to show you. I'm going to tell you why. Okay, they had an $800,000 budget and how where you can see it on screen. If you actually look to the shot, the robot comes up and like basically just nudges the can. Okay, like I guess it was under kind of, I don't know if these, when they actually filmed them, if they were under remote control. That'd be an interesting thing to find out. Like how were they programmed? Did you have a remote control with them? It like nudges the bucket and then it nudges it a little more. It clearly had no chance of spilling over. And then the shot to Dick Miller is like, psh, all the water's everywhere and the bucket's on its side.
I was just looking this up. So RoboCop comes out 1 year after this. So we're right in the middle of this discussion in the 80s. This is, if let's, maybe we can do a little discussion on AI here based on these three touchstones. You got Johnny Five, it's great to be alive. Ooh, Johnny, Chopping Mall, and RoboCop, all coming out in the same 2 year period, like maybe even less than that. Could have been, you know, maybe less than that. So why was this so, like, why was this in the zeitgeist at the time? Does anybody remember what was happening in the 80s that had people thinking about this?
You had the crime epidemic in the 80s. Like urban places were absolutely, urban cities all over were like New York, Chicago. These are really dangerous places in these urban environments. And this is set in suburbia, like under this like advanced security system. So I can see how that would, you know, how you could make that connection in just a general sort of, you look at like a more social structure of it.
It's but, so advanced, in fact, that they put in not just robots, but the security doors that like,
yeah. Like, oh my God, man. Like, the fucking the Total Recall doors.
I wonder, is the 80s, late 80s? I mean, is that when personal computers and stuff were getting kind of bigger too?
Yeah, I think
like,
the first Mac.
You guys were talking, I'm thinking, you know, so there's like, there's these three movies, there's War Games, there's, you know, like even like Ferris Bueller when he hacks into the system and right. messes up the, you know, the grades and everything. Like, yeah, I guess I wonder if technology was starting to boom around this time.
Oh, no, for sure. Don't you remember like those little robots you'd see on the TV and like they'd carry like the tray, like they carry like the fucking cheese sandwich and the thing to your like Omnibot. You know, like those, yep, they were 100%. Like toys for kids.
Yeah.
Robots. Yeah. You know what I'm talking about? Those little white ones. So robots now were starting to get market. I guess they could just figure out how to do a simple, basically like a remote control car, except like a robot. And then again, with the advent of like I just looked at it, just in the museum I was at, like the first Mac there was 73. So then let's say 10 years ahead, you know, that's something that's being sold out more towards people. For sure, there's an increasing interest in technology, which kind of makes sense. So
yeah. Probably War Games was 83. Nintendo comes out in 83. I guess before that we had Atari too. So all that kind of computerized system, like if I hit this, and by the way, like what was the most famous phrase of the 80s was like, he's got his finger on the button. Like this idea that mass destruction could be you know, carried out with like computer buttons. Like if I hit this one thing, it's going to cause this massive, you know, horrible extinction level event.
I think we would be remiss if we're talking about, you know, this film and we've got these robots that are protecting these people. They're protecting the people that work at this mall. And really the whole movie starts and is centered around a party.
Guys, this party is gonna happen, but we need a little teamwork, okay? You got the beer?
Greg, come on.
It breaks out after all the doors close. Can we please just talk about this party for a minute?
Jamie, you worked at a record store in a mall.
I worked at the mall, okay? I worked at Sunrise Records when I was like, you know, I think I worked there for like 6 months before I moved out of the country. I was never invited to anything like this. I kind of wish I had. Talk about what is happening at this party.
Is it? I'm like refresh my memory because like, do we even see them partying or is it just straight to them all?
Oh my God! Yeah, that's all they're talking about. The first scene.
Well, they're talking about the party, but I'm talking about the party itself.
It's very quick. It's like a, I think it's like one or two beer cracks, and then it's right into the makeup session.
They've got the camera outside, and you're right. Everybody's like having a good time, but like before that, they're all like huddled around the furniture. There's like customers in the store. Like nobody's paying attention to any fucking customer. And the guy's like, dude, you got to come. Like Tony Odell with the glasses and like the sweater over his shoulders. Like, dude, you got to come to the party. It's going to be great. We're setting you up with a girl. It was so funny. And then you're right. There's a couple of beer cracks. And then all of a sudden, it's like, it's on. Everybody has their own queen size bed. But there's no rooms.
I never thought it would be so, nice.
It's been nice for me too, Ferdy.
Oh God!
Yeah,
right. Like God.
It's not like an orgy, but like it's pretty like
Rob. Just, it's pretty damn close.
It's,
man.
It's the closest thing.
What was the thinking behind? Why do you think the director decided to do it like this?
You can do it all one shot. It's like an homage to Scorsese with the long one take.
I feel it's like if you ask somebody who's never been to a party, what happens at a party? this is his like fever dream of like, oh, there's this girl over here having sex, and this, you know, they're doing beer bongs over here, and
exactly.
You just let him go on for too long, and all of a sudden he gets killer robots are coming behind you.
And the nerds are watching a movie on the couch. Right. Yeah, I mean, the one thing I do think, although 80s movies kind of, and all movies do this, they kind of exaggerate things, but like there is something kind of real about the like house party vibe that you're having here, like the after work party. I mean, I never partied in the movie store that I worked in, but I definitely know there was like
places. Oh, you did, Rob, in the basement.
That's a joke. That's a like really old inside joke. But there's definitely like people who worked in restaurants can probably totally get this vibe where it's like once the door's locked, you know, people loosen up. They have a drink while they're cleaning up. They like hang out a little later, especially people in the bar industry and things like that. Like there's something real about this. But yeah, it's definitely a kind of an odd space. Like I never would have imagined doing it in the furniture store. But I think that's kind of funny too because it's like it's as if the whole living room, it's like a house party is already there for you. And you're right, well, all those beds.
And it, like, if you even think about not just horror films, but 80s movies, Rob and I were just talking about this off pod. Like, you see, like, quite a few boobs in this movie. And you see that, like, you know, full frontal nudity in a lot of films. And maybe, you know, there's probably reasons why you don't see it as much now. But I wonder if there was something that had to do with how films were categorized and rated back in the 80s. I don't know, Rob.
Absolutely. If you had this much killing, you're going to get an R rating. Like, that's going to happen, right?
And since, but I feel like that level was, like, higher. Yeah. You know,
but,
like...
Well, it depends how much blood and guts you were showing. But if you're killing people, and you've already... So you're getting an R, that's one of the reasons it's, like, horror movies throws in a lot of nudity. Because it's like, well, we already got the R rating. Like, we can... Now we can well pretty much... Full. Might as well
Let's
throw
just
in
get
more,
it all going.
Let's get everything else we can in there, right? Like, we don't want to go all the way to X, but we want to get... You know, let's give people their money's worth. That was probably the thinking at the time, right?
Like, this is a great example of codifying sex and horror together, right? Like, for many movies, the two of them went together. I think this is a really perfect example. And actually a really funny, not funny, but just an interesting connection. There is, like, a ton of Friday the 13th alums in this movie, man. Like, there is, I counted four actors or actresses, three or four from this movie. So I guess, like you said, you know, Susie Slater doing this in other films, I guess like working in this with these horror films, you know, if you kind of were maybe typecast in a horror film and you were going to do this type of movie, you were like going to go and work some of these other ones. Or maybe that was just, were these like easier jobs to get? Were these accessible jobs that kind of were to springboard you into? I'm thinking that might have been the reason why you see a little overlap right in these films.
Sure. Yeah, well, I mean, think about it too, like there were so many, I feel like horror movies were probably just so, I don't know if it was easy to make or easy to get greenlit,
yeah, but cheap,
like,
to make
there were so many in the back there, right? It probably was everyone's springboard into, you know, trying to make it big. And it's funny that you talk about sex and horror kind of, you know, coding together, because I feel like Friday the 13th they didn't start it by any means, but I feel like they were the ones that kind of put it in the mainstream, you know, map. But like, I feel like their message was fairly clear. Like, sex is bad. You know, it was almost that in Halloween. It was very like almost anti-sex, or really was anti-sex. But I don't know if it just got watered down with so many other movies and so many other people just following their tropes that I feel like it really started to lose, absolutely lost its message when you get to the, you know, tier twos and the tier threes, where it's just like, I'm here for boobs, I'm here for blood, I'm here for, you know, over the top kills. Give me, exactly. Yeah, just give it to me.
Yeah, yeah. Exactly. Rob, what was
and
the
Susie guy? Slater gets a horrible kill, by the way.
Oh my God.
And it not even like a grape.
Yeah, fucking everybody has to watch it too.
Yeah, this movie does a bit of sleight of hand where it's like not really clear who the protagonist is. I think we're thinking it's Tony O'Dell most of the time, and then at the end he kind of gets knocked out, and then it's like just left to I think her name's Kelly Maroney playing Allison. Is Allison the? I think she's the protagonist. Like, she's the one who survives at the end, and so it comes down to her, and she's alone to deal with the robot and the final conclusion, and she takes out like two or three of them. But it's kind of weird because throughout the movie she's definitely like the smart one, and she's helping the other ones, like who are one girl's falling apart in the air ducts, and she's like, I gotta get out of here, and of course she ends up getting killed. But like, I wasn't at any point really convinced that she was like the main character. I don't know if she just didn't command enough, or if the script just didn't give her enough to like lead the way, or
not enough meat on the bone.
Yeah, I don't know.
This is not like the tight. This is not the best dialogue. You know, this is not, you know.
They know we're in here. They're trying to French fry us.
You're not watching this for the dialogue, but I know what you're saying. You're kind of unsure. I think that is she the one that wants to split up? Who's the one that is that the one that's falling apart in the air ducts? She's like, I gotta get out of here. I gotta do it myself. I can't. And then she unfortunately takes a untimely death. But these guys, these characters, they fight back, and I like them all. Because the mall is an interesting setting and a clever setting, because it has sort of a readily made environment where the characters can move and go into like different shops, which present a bevy of sort of different environments and different challenges that they'll have to, or things that even
more opportunities.
More opportunities. Like I think we're not political on this podcast, but I think we're going to get the American perspective. can you go into a sporting goods store and come out with a machine gun?
Again, probably. I would not be surprised, especially in some you know, maybe not California, but you know, some other smaller states, little southerner states. I would not be surprised if they had that. I mean, I know you can go into like a Dick's Sporting Goods and get you know a shotgun and like, you know, all that stuff. So yeah, I would not be surprised.
I was more surprised that, like, you know, I know the mall's closed and all, but like that shit's not locked up at all. This shit is just laying there. It's just right beside the like lamps and the other, I don't know, this end table that might go next to your couch. Like, you know, the gun is just available to be picked up.
Yeah, and ammunition is just right beside it. Grenades, whatever they need, right? And but so they
get creative though, don't they, Jimmy? Like the propane tanks they use as bombs.
Don't they do Molotov cocktails? Like they've got the kerosene. They're not very agile. They're not very mobile. I would try to set up a booby trap for them so that they would fall. And again, that's what they did. They tried to trap it in the elevator and they tried to blow the thing up. And I guess they were, you know, like they don't burn.
It's funny though. Any thoughts? Say, like, in most 80s movies, and probably in most movies, there's always that one scene that gives away their secret, you know, like they have to get them wet or, you know, or whatever.
Oh, right.
Like, oh, okay, that's how you can. They don't really say that movie. Like, they make it pretty set that these things are indestructible. I mean, I guess.
You know
they point to the control room. Like,
I was just going to say that.
Yeah. If you could figure out how to get to that, you might be able to, I think they say even reprogram them or like shut them down. But I think so. That is part of their journey, right? That's why they're running across the mall. They're trying to get to that control room.
Do you think a security control room in 1980 looks like that?
Wait, what is it? Like,
there's like no. Well, I'm not saying there'd be windows in it, but there's like the steel panel with all the red and white buttons. Like, I think all the 80s movies look the same, right? It looked like a military command center, like inside
with where they had it. But,
oh, tons of smoke and all the fog that came out. And the one guy that's like, you know, he's the one security guy that gets killed and he's looking at the swimsuit edition. And then they it's just like so funny. But yeah, no. Okay. So is there,
one
you
thing
know,
with
so
these robots, can I jump in? One thing with robots, and Ari, tell me like what your thoughts here, because one of the great things about horror movies is usually that like the villain or the monster will kind of like slowly decompose by the end. And these robots do take a beating, and at the end he is a little fucked up looking, but he's not like, you want that like eye hanging out kind of look. Like they never sort of like become anything more monstrous than what they are. They're just still just garbage cans on wheels. And I was kind of always hoping that at some point they'd like start having like a human voice or like something weird like that kind of like made them more grotesquely horrifying would happen. But it didn't really hit that point.
If you look at the posters for the movie too, like the I guess the main poster has this like really gnarly looking cyborgy, you know, half human, half robot arm. That would be cool. You know, like, I think they did a very good sleight of hand of, you know, from advertising to delivery of, you know, these really cool looking, like, killing machines
absolutely.
To garbage cans on wheels.
Yeah, like, it's funny.
They definitely did the art before they saw the movie.
Yeah, I'm looking at it right now, and, like, that hand, it looks really cool. Really cool. And even just like the lettering, even just the name, Chopping Mall.
Yeah, why is it Chopping Mall? Do they chop
I'm gonna throw
anyone?
This at you. I'm gonna throw this at you. Why don't we call this movie Stalking Mall?
Yeah, did anyone get chopped?
I don't think so. No, I think it's a few electrocutions, a few throat, like did somebody get shot in the throat or cut in the throat?
I just watched the trailer and I just saw the guy take the forklift into the robot again. I just cannot stop laughing at that scene. That's one of the stupidest kills, because his girlfriend, they're all running away, but she stops and like turns and watches for a while. And you know, in 80s movies, they didn't cut very quickly. So like these shots last way too long. And she's like turning and be like, oh no. And then like, boom, of course she gets lasered down. And then boyfriend gets so mad. He like jumps on the forklift and drives it to Johnny Five. And he gets electrocuted too and just dies. And I'm like, wow, that is two people just died in the stupidest deaths consecutively. But yeah, you're right. The art, like the bag with the head in the bag with the rip in the bag, so you see their eye coming out. It really did sell something maybe different than what we got here a little bit. I didn't really think about it until now.
Yeah, you get these cheap looking robots. If there's nothing else, I think we probably just go ahead and just review this. We got a we got a third person to review, so. Let's make some space. All right, you want to go ahead and basically what we do is we review these films, and then we basically give it footsteps, and sometimes we give it a toe. So you know, we give like 4 or 5 footsteps, but sometimes for like 4.5 stars, we get 4 footsteps and a toe. So that would be 4.5. So you want to give us the give us your review, and then rate it.
All right, awesome. I mean, you know, again, for me personally, if you're going off of Ari's, you know, thing, I would say this is easily a 4 feet. You know, I think it's just, again, it's just what I want in a dumb 80s movie. It's got the horror, it's got, you know, the over-the-top kills, it's got the crazy dialogue. If somebody was asking me to actually rate this movie and not a fanboy, you know, and gush over it, I would probably give it, you know, let's just say 2 feet, just for some of the fun. You know, I mean, it's just a good popcorn flick for me.
All right, so you're coming in with 4 footsteps, right?
Yeah.
4, right, that's 4 huge. That's huge.
That's huge. It's a big number.
That's big.
It's feeling good from Johnny.
Well, Chopping Mall is going to get the added benefit of 3 reviews, so when you stack them up, it's going to cross 10 probably. But we'll see. We'll see. We'll see if it makes it, because I'm going to
we'll
come
just
in
get
here.
The, we'll get the mean. We'll get the mean score, and we'll put it out, okay?
I'm going to come in here with a 2, 3, I'll give it 3 I'm somewhere between 2.5 and 3 on this one. I'm trying to decide where I want to be. Here's the thing. I love the premise. I think it's funny. I think it's fun. I think it's a great like 80s flick. But it's the cool thing about this film is, like Ari is saying, it's definitely a turn on. You just watch it through and it's done. It sort of just flows and it's like over and it's like this great little painless experience. Like it's just like a fun like popcorn flick where you watch it and it's over and you don't have to think about it too hard later. So in a movie like that, what are you looking for? You're looking for some creative kills. You're looking for some fun moments. You're looking for great like set pieces or like using the environment to a funny way. And Chopping Mall has a bunch of those. There's some good comedy too with like some, you know, the guest appearances we mentioned, and some of the deaths are not just like gross but hilarious. Like the exploding head is like pretty funny more than it is scary. And the movie is never truly like scary to me. And part of that has got to be going back in time, because we're looking at these robots now being like, oh my God, they look silly. But at the time, maybe they were. Like, maybe the idea of like a tank type tin can, garbage can robot with laser beams is pretty fucking terrifying. Who knows? So I enjoy it, but is it something you walk away with a lot of memories about? Not necessarily.
So what are you coming in at, Rob?
So I'm going to go... I'm gonna go 2.5. Nick, bring it down. Yeah, I'm gonna challenge Jamie to see if this thing should reach a 10 or not.
All right, Chopping Mall. Yeah, like Rob, you just said, like, you know, just put it on and kind of just runs. It's 77 minutes long. Okay, like it's not even an hour and a half. This thing runs hot, and it runs quick.
Yeah, it's like two episodes of a show. Not even.
You're right into it, right? Like, you know, you basically. You jump into the plot. As soon as the mall closes, they get rid of the guys running security, and it's a fight for survival. And like they're trying to just get home so they can get to work the next day. I think
because that's what they're concerned about, is getting back to work.
They got to get back to work
after the orgy.
You know, it's like it's not scary, and I'm not even sure they tried to make it scary, because, and that's the one of the things, is because like there's no tight shots, there's no dread, there's no tension, there's no kind of build up, there's no, you know, that's why it's so bad it's good, because it's not so bad it's bad, because they're not trying to do all these things right to make it scary.
They're failing at building the trip.
And I think that's on purpose, right? They're purposely avoiding that, so they basically just make it these like crazy robots run around, and it's silly, and it's fun. And again, you get some boobs in there, you get some cool kills, you get a little it and then that's what it is. You just go somewhere, you enjoy it for the 77 minutes, and then you just leave it where it is, right?
You have an orgy, you escape some robots, a couple beers.
I love that fucking, that furniture store scene is, oh my God, that's gold. I'm going to come in at 3 footsteps, because it's just, you know, it is what it is. It's not worth 3.5 and 4, because it doesn't warrant that. But I think that there's enough in there that you can just be satisfied and you can just have some enjoyment. And if you watch it now, there's that sense of nostalgia that just brings you back to those films that you watched when you were a kid. That's for me, you know, watching films at 8, 9, 10 years old, these horror films just brings me right back. Like you said, you look at the video store, those covers, the video store covers, the VHS, it's a flood of memories coming back. So for me, that's worth something. 3 footsteps.
Wow. So listen, that puts Chopping Mall at 9.5 out of 10. But in this case,
you're welcome.
because we get the added benefit of an extra voter. So that's high regard here from the Running Scared podcast.
Exactly. And this is actually one of the first kind of like, you know, 80s, like really kind of shitty C-level movies that we've done just for fun. So no, this was really good. Ari, I want to thank you for coming on and doing this with us. This has been really good. You know, you're over at 6amrun.com, and you were talking about some of those new products. That's fantastic. We wish you all the best. Good luck. I'm sure we can find some time, you know, when we do another movie to bring you on. Let's keep connected, and thank you for joining us tonight.
Yeah, awesome. I had a blast as always. It's always fun talking to you guys, and super excited to hear the third. do you call it book or the third chapter? What do you call it for the Jogging Scare podcast?
Rob?
We got Jamie. Yeah, new Jogcast, Insulum Curatura. This is, like, we just named this brutally, Jamie. Whenever you get, how do you get sales when you can't even say the name when you're saying it in public?
That's why Insulum. I had Mark Curatura. Anyway, so we just, you know, we're going Latin on this one.
Insulum Curatura means island monster, right?
Yeah, we should just call it island. Island creature.
Oh, is it creature? Fuck, see? Yeah. God damn it. Gotta work on the sales pitch on this thing.
The cover looks cool. It doesn't matter, right? It's all about visuals. But anyways, this is, this has been good. And Rob, if there's nothing else, we'll see you next time on Running Scared. The Running Scared podcast is written and produced by Robert Lendrum and Jamie Roberts. This episode, edited by Jamie Roberts. Original music by Jamie Roberts. Follow us on social media, and we'll see you next time on Running Scared.